Dette er en podcast fra OKS. Så glad for at du lytter på oss I dag, og håper dette vil oppmuntre deg og styrke ditt trosliv. Nytt budskapet sammen med oss.
When I knew I was going to be able to share with you today, I was like, God, what do you want me to share on? What? And it just, I really felt strongly in my heart to share about purpose. Okay, this is something I'm sharing on a lot at the moment. It's really kind of got inside of me, but purpose in a different way. Okay, really understanding our purpose in God. Understanding who we are in God and what is our, I'm going to venture to say, what is our soul purpose? Okay, so I'm going to play on the words here of soul purpose. What is the purpose of your soul, but also what is the purpose of you being on this earth? What is your real reason for living? And so I want us to look at a little bit of purpose. And you know, people spend their lives searching for purpose. Some people go in the sports field. I tried that. I played professional rugby for a couple of years, and I thought I was going to be a hero, and I was going to be famous. And well, I kind of wasn't that good. So you know, I was good enough to play a decent level, but never to really be. That's why none of you knew my name until the pastor told you what it was. But and I must slow down for the headset. But we search for purpose in sport. Some people jump out of aeroplanes. Okay, because they need the thrills, or they go downhill really fast on skis, or you know they're trying to find that purpose, the thing that makes them feel alive. Okay, some people find it in philanthropy, helping other people. It's a good place to find your purpose. Okay, so people search for purpose in everything. Some people find it in money. Okay, some people find it in power. Okay, but we search for purpose, and then. You know, it's interesting because we all read books on purpose, okay? Now, I know you're all righteous. You read your Bible if you're looking for purpose. But people like me, okay, read these motivational books on purpose, okay? I mean, I won't ask you to put up your hand, but I'm sure if I did, many of us would put up our hand and say we've read a book on purpose. And what do these great books on purpose tell us? They many times say you must pursue your passion. Okay, find what you're passionate about, okay, and then you go and do that, and you will always succeed, okay? Well, I don't know so much. It's like when I was 18, if I had followed that, I think I would have become like a photographer of supermodels, okay? Because my passion when I was 18 years old was really good-looking girls, okay? So if I'd pursued that passion, I think I would have been a photographer of models, okay? So I don't know if I buy this thing of, you know, find the thing you're passionate about, go and pursue that, okay? Because you know what? I've found lots of people who are really good at what they do, who have been incredibly successful, who have impacted the world, who really aren't that passionate about the thing they do. They're just really good at it, okay? So I don't even know if I buy this whole thing of, you know, find your passion and you'll find your purpose, okay? I think the problem, though, is that often our purpose in a natural sense, becomes our God. Okay? So, money. Money becomes our God because it becomes our purpose. Well, my purpose is to make as much money as I can. Oh, what are you going to do with it? No, it's to make as much money. Okay? Becomes an obsession. Becomes a purpose. Okay? I want power. We're experiencing in our world right now some of the pains of what happens when people want too much power, okay? But power becomes their purpose, okay? But you know, when I go and read my word, I don't see that, okay? What I see is that God says that we should make our purpose Him, okay? Now, I'm not saying, you say, but my business, you know, fixes motor cars. How do I make Jesus a motor car? Okay. It's not what I'm saying. Okay. It's not what you do for a living. What I'm saying is making the purpose of our soul, our reason, okay, what is at the center of our lives, we have to make Jesus that purpose. Because when I read my word, okay, what it says is that when I make God, okay, my purpose, my sole purpose, it says that all these things will be added unto me. Okay? So it says, don't worry, all that other stuff, your business, your living, your those things will take care of themselves when you make me your purpose. Okay? So this is what it says. It's in Matthew 6:33. And I apologize to the guys who are doing the scriptures if they're putting them up, because this was my second, but it moved to my first. It says, so above all, constantly chase after, I'm reading from the Passion Translation in case you think it looks, sounds different to yours. So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God is what the New King James says, okay? And the righteousness that proceeds from him. So what the Bible tells us is that our sole purpose should be to seek out God and the righteousness that comes from him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, okay? That should be our purpose. And his righteousness, okay? Doesn't say, seek ye first being self-righteous. It doesn't say, seek first becoming righteous. It doesn't even say, seek first being really good, okay? It doesn't say, seek first sinning less than that guy next to you at church. You can laugh, that was funny. It says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness that comes from it. Okay, and then what does it say? Then all these, I love the Passion Translation, then all these less important things, okay? All the things we worry about every day, okay? Which the Bible refers to as the less important things, okay? Will be given to you abundantly. Abundantly. Not, oh, you'll survive. No, no. Why do I have a vision of an Africa that thrives? Because the Bible says that it'll be given to my people abundantly. Okay? So why do I want to teach our continent to seek first the kingdom of God? Because I know then that will be given to them abundantly. Okay? All these other things. Okay? So what is that? That is making your purpose Christ at the center. You're going to hear me say this a few times today, so get used to it. Jesus Christ has to be at the center, okay? At the center. What happens when something's at the center? It's in the middle, okay? It is the thing that you are consumed by, okay? When you know, in a relationship, I love watching I don't know if I love watching this with my daughter, but I like watching young people fall in love, okay? When it's my daughter, it's, yeah, she's about to turn 16. Let's just leave it at that, okay? But I love watching young love because it is all consuming. I mean, you watch a 16-year-old boy. He's never brushed his teeth twice a day in his whole life, no matter how much his mother begged him, tried to bribe him, whatever, okay? I mean, brushing his hair, washing his hair is something he thinks about like once every 6 months, you know, till he gets a girlfriend. Oh, my word. The teeth are brushed 10 times a day. You know, suddenly he changes what he eats. No, well, that might make my breath stink, you know. And then the hair is washed and brushed and the gel comes out. Suddenly you see your gel is just getting finished. It's like, what's happening to my hair product? Okay. Your teenager's sticking in his hair 3 times a day. Okay. Why? Because he is consumed by love. I mean, that girl is the center of absolutely everything, okay? I mean, isn't that a cool place to be? You know what? I'm still like that with my wife. She actually, I mean, ooh, I wish she was here. I get consumed by her love, okay? But they're consumed. Why? Because that's the center of their world. That's what Jesus wants. The word says he wants to be the lover of your soul. He is jealous for you. Okay, jealous for you. He gets jealous when your purpose becomes something else. He gets jealous when your focus is somewhere else. Why? Because he wants to be at the center. Because he's a God who needs to be puffed up? No, 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 no. Because he knows what happens when he's at the center. He knows how transformational that is to your life. And that's why he wants it. You see, It says in Hebrews 4:1, okay, it says, now God has offered to us the same promise of entering into his realm of resting in confident faith. It doesn't say of acting, of running, of, it says of resting in confident faith. So we must be extremely careful. These are not my words. I'm reading the word to you here. So just listen to the Bible. We must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did. Yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Okay? They didn't join their faith with the word. Okay? And so what happened? Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, okay? We've all heard the word. The question is the word going to affect us deeply, okay? What they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted, okay? For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident exertion. No, of confident rest. Okay? Of confident rest. Of being in Christ. Why? Because when Christ is at the center, all these other less important things take care of themselves. Okay? But we consume ourselves worrying about all the less important things when Jesus says, just worry about me. Just put me at the center. Just make me the thing you're obsessed about. I'll take care of all of those other things. Okay? And how do we do that though? Through faith. Okay, faith is the activator. I think last time I was here, actually, I preached a message on faith. Okay, and I think I gave an example where I gave away some money. Okay, of someone actually believing and putting their faith into action. Faith is an activator. Okay, faith in what though? Faith in my personal ability? Faith in my ability to be righteous? Faith in my ability to do what the Bible says I should do? Or faith in Jesus. You see, I actually want to propose to you today that those two things are not the same. In fact, I think they're in absolute conflict with one another. I think, and I'm going to come back to this, but I think that what the devil wants you to do more than anything else is to pursue righteousness. You're like, this preacher's lost his mind. I'm going to explain this to you. I believe that what the devil wants most is for you to pursue righteousness. Because then you will condemn yourself. You will never attain it. You will never feel good enough. You will never live in the fullness of what Jesus has. You will never, when you are on your own. You see, we have this word self-righteous. What is self-righteous in Norwegian? Is there a word for it? Sedretfarde. Did I say it right? Hey. Can switch that guy off. I'll just do both. No. Self-righteousness is not the guy who stands there going, I'm better than you. I wouldn't do it like that. That's what we call self-righteous. Oh, that we all know someone who we've come on. I know you guys are so righteous, but you've all said that at least once in your life. Oh, that person's so self-righteous. Okay. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you on your own trying to be righteous. Okay? That is actually self-righteousness. It's the pursuit of... Now, let me say it this way. I'll put it in a different form. I think one of the greatest forms of arrogance is believing you can be righteous. Because what you're saying is, I can be Jesus. Okay? I can be Jesus. I can do this thing. I can. He says you can't be. Okay? The word says only one. Christ alone. Okay? Christ alone could be righteous. Okay? Only one. But you're saying, no, I can do this thing. I got it. Okay? And the devil goes, man, I'm so glad I've got you where I need you. Because you are going to so fail. And then you're going to so condemn yourself. And then you're going to keep going round and round in circles. And I'm just going to keep you where I want you. Okay? Self-righteousness is arrogance. When the Word of God says, humble yourself before God, I don't believe that what God's saying is, oh, you know, I want humans to be less. You must be less. Be humble. Oh, I'm nothing. No, that's self-loathing. That's not humbleness. Okay? That's not, it's being, thinking you are nothing is not being humble. Okay? It's, can I say it's being stupid? It's not being humble. Okay? God is interested, though, in small heads and big hearts. Okay? He's not interested in you being arrogant. That's for sure. Okay? But when the word says humble yourself before God, I believe that that humbling is accepting that you cannot attain righteousness and that it can only be found in Christ Jesus. I'm not saying you can't be righteous. What I'm actually telling you is you are righteous. You are righteous. Right now you're righteous. You're as righteous as you'll ever be. Okay? Because you're righteous because of Christ Jesus. Okay? You're righteous in Christ Jesus. How did you become righteous? You became righteous because the Father sent His Son to hang on a tree to bleed to death for you. That's why you're righteous. Okay? Yeah, let's give Him a proper hand. That's why you're righteous. You're not righteous because of what you did or didn't do yesterday. Now, I'm not condoning doing the wrong things. That's not what I'm speaking about here. Okay? I mean, if that's the impression you're getting, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm trying to help us understand is our righteousness is only found in one place. That is in Christ Jesus. Okay? And how do we attain righteousness? We pursue Jesus. We put Him at the center of our life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Okay? That's what it says. So, I don't know if I'm buying this. That's okay. I've got lots of scriptures. So let's go to another one. Okay. Mark 12:29. Okay. In my Bible, it's in red. Okay. You know what's cool about when it's in red? Jesus said it. Okay. So this wasn't even somebody's idea. That you could maybe try and argue with if you really tried hard, okay? This is in red. This is what Jesus said. The most important of all commandments is this. The Lord Yahweh, our God, is one. You are to love the Lord Yahweh, your God, with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, with every thought that is within you, with all your strength, okay? This is the greatest and supreme commandment. Okay? Jesus Himself said that. Didn't say, now, you are to pursue being there and you are to... No. What is the greatest commandment, Jesus? That you love the Lord your God with absolutely everything. Okay? With all of you. That you put me at the center. Just put me at the center. Okay, that's what Jesus was saying. Just put Him at the center. Okay, just love me with everything inside of you. Okay, make me the hero. I've been saying this to our teams. I've been telling our teams. We do devotions on Fridays, and I mean our teams are spread all over the continent and around the world. So we do virtual devotions. Okay, so we all get on a Zoom and do devotions. And I've been saying this to our team for 2 years now. Okay? I've been saying to them, just make Jesus the hero. I tell our evangelists, you go and you preach the word. Don't get fancy, okay? Don't try to be some fancy preacher with your... Just go preach the word of Jesus. That's faith. A little confidence, like, I'm taking my jacket. This guy's useless. She's like, I'll put Jesus at the center. I don't listen to Him anymore. But I've been saying to them, just make Jesus the hero. Just speak the word. Just literally take scripture and preach scripture. Okay? And then put Jesus at the middle of what you of your life personally, first of all, and place Christ at the center. Make him the hero. This is not about you preaching fancy, looking good, but doing what. Just go preach Jesus and make him the hero and put him at the center. And you know what? Since we've done that, okay? Since we've done that, in one year, okay, we more than doubled the registered decisions for Christ in our outreaches, okay? On the same budget. Okay, with the same preachers, okay, we've just got to put Jesus at the center of our lives, people, and all this other stuff takes care of itself. But you see, we've had a wrong perception of what that is. We've had a wrong perception of righteousness. I actually fear that we've even had, and I'll talk about me, not you, I've had a wrong perception of who Jesus is. You know, I'm at the by my mid-30s, okay, or early 30s, I'd had the privilege of praying the prayer of salvation with, personally myself, with over a million people. People who I'd preached a gospel of grace and love and mercy to, and I had no clue of the grace I was speaking of. I had no revelation and understanding for myself. Okay, I would get off of a platform having preached that gospel, having prayed the prayer of salvation with tens of thousands of people, having seen Jesus do the most incredible miracles, and go back to my hotel room, back into my condemnation, back into my own struggle, back into my own fight, back into my own perseverance of righteousness. Okay, living in turmoil. While everyone from the outside looking at something that looked like, oh man, he's got it together. He's serving Jesus. He's doing. No, trapped. Trapped in that space. Okay? Trapped there. Rather than truly understanding, truly having a revelation of what I'm speaking about today. Transform my life. I'll just be brutally honest with you as a human today. Okay? I'm really good at doing the wrong things. Okay? Like, exceptionally good at doing the wrong things. Okay? I mean, you know, if you're supposed to turn left, I just naturally, like, lean right. You know? It's just like, I'm going there, but I'm, don't know, I'm here. Okay? All my life, I've been really good at doing the wrong things. Okay? And I've been a Christian a long time. So I spent a big part of my life really, really trying to do the right things. Really working hard to do the right things. Actually burning myself out. It's part of actually why I left the ministry. Okay. Went into the business world. I couldn't anymore. I just didn't have the energy to just keep trying to do the right thing. Just trying to make the left turn when I just always wanted to turn right. Do you know the amazing thing is, I personally got a revelation of what I'm share it with you passionately today because it's changed my life, okay? I got a revelation of what I'm sharing with you. I put Jesus at the center of my life. I didn't just serve him. I didn't just worship him. He's been my God for years, okay? I worshiped him passionately for years. I also begged him, you know, to forgive and to this and to make me better and to whatever, okay, for years, okay? But I didn't have him truly at the center. I didn't have a revelation of what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with everything inside of you. Not with you trying to be God, with everything inside of you. I didn't have a revelation of this. And when I put Christ at the center, it all changed. Okay? I'm the same human. I'm the right-turning, not left-turning human. Well, maybe it's the other way around. Do the right thing. Yeah, I'm the left-turning human. And yet suddenly I found all my personal struggles started to disappear. Okay? The things I had fought all my life, okay? Fought them all my life, okay? Suddenly started to disappear. Healing I'd needed for a long time in my life, okay? So, you know, I don't normally share this publicly, but there's obviously a reason I need to. So as an 11-year-old kid, and then for 5 years of my life, I was sexually abused, okay, on a constant basis. It so messed with my understanding of sexuality, of anything in that space in life. And then I spent the rest of my life fighting that thing, okay? Fighting it like a literal demon in my life, okay? Until I one day got the revelation of putting Jesus at the center. And it all just started to get healed and to fall in place and to line up, okay? And that's just one example, okay? Let me tell you something. If you will put Jesus at the center, if you will understand what righteousness in Christ Jesus is, your life will transform. You will not become somebody who says, oh, well, I can do anything and live any way I want and be whatever I want because Jesus has covered my sin. Nonsense, okay? If you will put Jesus at the center, the thing you will realize is that you no longer strive for righteousness. You just live in righteousness. It just starts to come naturally to you, okay? I'm not saying you'll never make a mistake or never whatever, but it will come naturally to you because that's what God intended for us, okay? What does it then say? It says, and second is this. This is the next part of that same scripture. Jesus said, and second is this. You must love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. The greatest commandment of all commandments, okay, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with everything in you. And you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. Let me rephrase that slightly to say, and love your neighbor as Christ loves you. Okay? You see, people say to me, so how do I have a healing ministry? Okay, they hear like, you preach and you pray for the sick and they get healed. So then people go, I want to have a healing ministry. I'm like, okay. So what must I do? Pray for the sick. Okay. No, but there's got to be a formula. I mean, what formula do I have? Well, I think the formula is you need your heart to break for that sick person like Jesus' heart does. Then you've got a healing ministry. Okay? So, because what are we instructed? Love the Lord your God with everything inside of you, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay? Love your neighbor as Christ loves you. Okay? So, here's the reality. We cannot love our neighbor until we love ourselves. And I'm not talking about flowery self-love, you know. No, I'm not talking about that. Okay? I'm not criticizing it either. I'm just not talking about it. What I'm talking about is you learning to love yourself like Jesus loves you. We have to see ourselves the way Jesus sees us. And when we start to see ourselves in the light that Jesus sees us, okay? Let me tell you something. When God looks at you, He sees the blood of His Son, okay? There's something really cool. I shouldn't go yet, but there's something really cool when you look at the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark of the Covenant, very quickly, okay, was the box that God lived in, okay? That was God's house in the Old Testament, okay? Everywhere the Ark of the Covenant went, God went. Wherever the Ark of the Covenant went, victory went, okay? When the sea parted, they actually walked up to their knees carrying the Ark of the Covenant. When they went into battle, the Ark of the Covenant went before them. They never lost, okay? That was the Ark. Do you know? So the Ark of the Covenant was a box with three things in it, okay? And those three things were the tablets, okay? The Ten Commandments, okay? Which in the New Testament, in the world we live in now, in the dispensation we live in post-Jesus, is effectively our forgiveness, okay? It's our forgiveness. Your pastor can jump up and say no if I'm getting any of this wrong, okay? It's our forgiveness is that, okay? It's what Christ did to forgive you, okay? That's what's represented there. The second thing that was in that box was a golden cup. Gold, in the reference in the word, always speaks to eternity. It's forever. It was a gold cup filled with manna, okay? God's provision, okay? And then the last one was Aaron's rod, his staff, that budded, that bore fruit. It was the work, okay? The works that we are called to, okay? Those were the three things in the box. On top of those three things was a solid gold seat, okay? The seat of mercy, it was called, okay? And then on top of that, there were two angels. They were turned, facing one another, but looking down through the seat of mercy to the elements that were in the box. You say, what has this got to do with righteousness of Christ? Hang on one second. Fast forward. Jesus hangs on a cross, bleeds to death for you, gets taken off the cross, goes, gets put in a tomb. The tombstone gets rolled away. There's no Jesus there. The first people recorded that went into the tomb of Jesus, do you know what they saw? Wait, you're going to get as excited as me. This is what they saw. Two angels standing facing one another, looking down. What were they looking down at? A platform that used to contain the body of Jesus and now contained the rags that had been wrapped around him, full of his blood. Listen to me, people. In our dispensation, after Jesus dying for you, okay, when God looks down, when the angels look, what were they looking at? They were looking through the blood of Jesus at each and every one of us. When God looks at you, he sees nothing but righteousness, because if he didn't, all he would see is darkness, okay? All he would see is darkness. We are pure darkness. Okay? Sorry to tell you, but we are pure darkness. Okay? But what does the word say? It says this. In 1 John 1, okay, verse 5, it says, this is the life-giving message we heard him share, and it is still ringing in our ears. They were talking about what Jesus told them. Okay, we now repeat this word to you. God is pure light. You will never find even a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living in truth. Okay, but if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him. See, I used to read this scripture and think that the darkness it referred to was my mistakes. I'm living in darkness. I'm living in my I've made mistakes. I've done wrong. I've fallen. No, I don't believe that's the darkness. The darkness is not having the revelation of the light. Okay? It's not having the revelation of your righteousness in Christ Jesus, of what that really means, of who you are in Christ. Okay? And so what does it go on to say? It says, living in the pure light that surrounds him. We share unbroken fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleansing us from all sin. Continually cleansing us from all sin. You know, a little bit before, Jesus shared the greatest of all commandments. Peter was speaking to, a little before Jesus went to die, Peter was speaking with him, and he shared with the disciples that he was going to be killed. He would be captured, he would be killed, he would die for them. And Peter pulled him aside, and he said, Jesus, you can't let this happen. This can't be. Save your life. Let us save you. You can't let this happen. And you know what Jesus said to him? The greatest rebuke you'll find anywhere in the Bible. He said, get away from me, you Satan. He called Peter Satan. He said, get away from me, you Satan. And then he explained why. He said, because your mind is in the natural realm. Okay? Your mind is in the natural realm. We have to step over into having our minds move into the supernatural realm. Having our mind move from what is the world into what is God. Okay? We need to take our minds from the darkness into the light. Okay? We need to step into our righteousness in Christ Jesus, because that's where the life exists. Okay? Let me close with this. One of the most beautiful scriptures you'll find anywhere in the Bible. I read it from the Passion Translation. And actually, for the translator, don't read the scripture. Please repeat my actual words. This is what it says in the Passion Translation. There's not one person who can hide their thoughts from God. Oh, this scripture used to terrify me. Not one person who can hide their thoughts from God. For nothing that we do remains a secret. And nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before His eyes, to whom we must render an account. Will you render an account for all your sin, for all you've done wrong, for every wicked thought you've had? I don't think that's what's being told to us in Hebrews. I believe we render an account for whether we believed in faith in the righteousness that came to us through the blood of Jesus. I believe we will render an account for whether we believed that His blood washed us or not. Okay. For whether we placed Him at the center and fulfilled the greatest of all commandments, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Okay. What does it go on to say? To whom we must render an account, to Jesus, our compassionate King Priest. Then it goes on and it says, so then we must cling in faith to all that we know to be true. For we have a magnificent King Priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose into the heavenly realm for us and now sympathizes, listen to me, now sympathizes with us in our frailty. Sympathizes because He gave His life for your frailty. Okay? He understands you because He became one of you. Understands humanity, okay, because God became humanity. He became a man. Our magnificent King Priest was tempted in every way just as we are, and conquered sin. Now listen to this. Listen very carefully to this. If you remember one thing from today, remember this last piece of scripture and live your life in the middle of it. Because this is what will empower you to put Christ at the center and overcome the battle with the devil of self-righteousness and live in your righteousness in Christ Jesus. It says this, so now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss, the kiss of mercy, and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here today and you don't know this Jesus I speak about, you've never experienced a relationship with Him, you've never come into to relationship with Jesus, you've never experienced this forgiveness I speak about, this righteousness in Christ Jesus, this is all new to you. Listen to me, Jesus is here today. He's the primary reason why I'm here today, is to give you that kiss of mercy, to welcome you into your righteousness that is found in Jesus. All you have to do is say yes. Yes, I'll surrender today. I'll give my life to Jesus. I'll make that commitment. He's calling you today. He's here for you to forgive all that has happened in your life, to wrap His arms of love around you, to give you that kiss of mercy, to give you the grace that you so urgently need, to give you the strength.
Takk for at du tok deg tid til å lytte på en av våre podcaster fra OKS. Vår visjon å bringe Jesus til mennesker i vår verden, og mennesker i vår verden til Jesus. Følg oss ellers på vår YouTube-kanal og sosiale medier. Du velkommen til å besøke en av våre kirker. For mer informasjon, sjekk ut oks.no.